Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Happy Wednesday to you. You are indeed in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. It is weird. It is one of the weird moments for me where it doesn't feel like it feels like it's earlier in the week than later. You know that, you know that you go to work and you're
usually
like, damn,
you're
how
ahead
is
of
it?
Yourself.
Yeah, how is it still Tuesday? I thought it was Thursday. Today I was like, wait, it's Wednesday. It's not Tuesday. We're further along in this week, getting closer and closer to a Texans playoff game versus the Pittsburgh Steelers, starting off what we hope, and if we cross, I'm crossing my fingers in this moment, we hope is a deep playoff run, probably even a Super Bowl playoff run for this Texans team. But it starts with the first game versus the Steelers. Let's talk about that and more here on a Wednesday edition of In the Loop. John Lopez, I'm Reginald Attitude, LaFiggy Fig on the ones and twos for you, as he always is. And you, always getting involved with the program, as we appreciate. The text line is open for you, 713-572-4610, where the 979 says, Sean's neighbors took advantage of the open invitation. Come over anytime. They took that literally.
Hey, anytime.
Yeah, anytime. Like, nope, nope.
Hey,
nope.
You said anytime.
Anytime. 2:30 in the morning, want to get a quick dip in? Let's do it. But then also, we have appreciation to the Mokarem Injury Lawyers for the live streams. There's the YouTube page. That's Sports Radio 610. Hop in, talk to the folks. There's always a robust group of people in there. Also, the Twitch chat, rather, on 610 Houston. But I'm not going to lie. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, I was deeply perplexed, John Lopez. I think I put this in our group text, and I don't think I used all the words that I was thinking in that moment. When I see transactions come down, we get the emails from the Texans, and I saw a transaction. I was like, what could they possibly be doing?
Yeah.
There is a return from the injury reserve. Darrell Taylor, hey, welcome back. Number 52, opportunity to have another edge rusher. We know how much D'Amico loves those. That's really cool for a game playing that you're going to play against Aaron Rodgers. You want to get after the quarterback.
Then you kept scrolling, didn't
That's
you?
Correct. That is right. I kept scrolling, and all of a sudden, waved was Kayvon Wallace. And I was like, oh, my, what are they doing?
Yeah.
What are they doing? What are they cooking here, John Lopez? The safety that just recently started your last spate of games, as you have looked for a partner to play alongside Caleb Bullock, it felt like you found something that was passable. And headed into the playoffs, you will now be dealing with something else at safety, barring one of those instances where this is, maybe I'm making too much of this, and then he returns on the practice squad and they elevate him and everything's fine. But if that's not the case, you are in a place where you do not have a starting safety, at least that you have run with recently, going into the most important portion of your season.
No, that was exactly my question. I was perplexed as well, and I said, "So what are they doing?" Because they were thin at safety with Kayvon Wallace.
That is correct.
Like when they had him, they were thin at safety. Right now, it's Miles Bryant, it's Kalen Bullock. That's it, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Unless there's guys coming back from injured reserve. Now, this is a thought that bounced around, because as you might imagine, and I'm sure some of you listeners were doing this, getting on social media wondering, okay, so what could be the answer here? Because there's got to be some logic here. I think we would assume that Nick Caserio, D'Amico Ryans, all the decision makers are logical beings.
No, they have a plan.
And so what could that plan be? A lot of people are thinking the young man, Jalen Reed, that was injured. He remember the broken plate in his arm. He went on injured reserve. Could he be coming back and then starting at that other safety? I'd be cool with that, except that's a dude coming immediately back off of injury, just getting that week of practice, and then being thrown not just into the fire, like into the cooking pan, I guess, right into the fire of starting, playing major snaps, not really having much of a backup option in that instance.
Against Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, against a dude who we've talked about a lot as somebody that has seen everything that there is to see in the National Football League.
Well, and the other thing about it, there were so many thoughts going through my head. Number one, like, D'Amico Ryans wants his safeties to play a particular way, you know, and we know that from C.J. Gardner-Johnson. And now you can almost point to that one fateful play with Alec Pierce. We know it from Kayvon Wallace.
Amongst others.
Amongst others, yes. But still, you know, that was one where, like, I think D'Amico even said after the game, you know, the communication and knowing, being where you need to be. I think he said that, being where you need to be. And I'm like, that's exactly what he said about C.J. Gardner-Johnson. If you don't get it right, you're in trouble. And then I started thinking, okay, what are they doing? It could be he's going back to the practice squad. They'll elevate him. No harm, no foul. But there's still some questions about his play, clearly. Could be Jalen Reed. So Jalen Reed is really interesting to me because not just coming off an injury, as you put it. Do you realize he's played 7 games this year?
I do.
7 games.
I do.
Here's the thing that jumps out. In one game, he had 12 tackles against the Buffalo Bills. He had an incredible game.
Mm-hmm.
12 tackles, 9 solo tackles. In the other 6 games, combined, 2 tackles. It's a roll of the dice. They have a plan. You got to have confidence in what they're doing, especially on the defensive side. But it is a question. It is an absolute question at the safety position. And as I mentioned, you're facing Aaron Rodgers, who exploits any little mistake you make.
Yeah, I got to admit, this one feels dicey to mm-hmm. me. It feels dicey to me. And you mentioned that D'Amico Ryans talked about being in the right place. You could also go back to looking at what we brought up kind of in passing, mm-hmm. which was a tweet that somebody had put up on X. During the game, I believe, this is just cut Kayvon Wallace now. And you saw yesterday, you saw Kamari Lassiter get on Twitter and be like, hey, go easy on my team. Or no, cut Tremont Smith. It was Tremont Smith, yeah, remember? Yeah. And it was like, go easy on my teammates. Kalen Bullock also went to that place. And I think the operative portion of that was, you don't know what the coverage was.
Yeah.
And I think you rightfully brought up.
Well, that kind of narrows it down.
Does that not indicate or intimate to some point that the error was with Kayvon Wallace?
Yeah.
Is this what you're seeing, is that D'Amico Ryans is doing the standard is the standard to the point of get on or get gone? And that feels like that, as much as I've leaned into the way that they handle things, upholding the standard, the mantras, the propaganda, anything you want to call it, has been a necessity for them.
Mm-hmm.
This feels like this might be the cutting off your nose to spite your face.
Yeah, because you need warm bodies version at this point. You need just like guys, uniforms to fill the role. And, you know, Kayvon Wallace, let's say he does come back and they elevate him and he's back. What's your confidence level? What's your confidence level of him? And how much more, if it is more, is that confidence than throwing Jalen Reed back out there? Jalen Reed looked pretty good in camp, looked pretty good in the preseason, had some moments, had the one enormous game against the Bills. But then 2 tackles in 6 other games and just 7 games altogether, and you're in Pittsburgh in the playoffs. Like, serious question, which would you have more confidence in?
I think the style of play would lead me to Jalen mm-hmm. Reed, but I think that there's a reasonable question to ask. How quickly does he get up to speed and is he ready to go? I don't have a good answer for that. Also, I would encourage you to recall that this does not have to be an either-or situation. In playing, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
In being on the roster, it did not have to be. I see people on the text line, Wallace is a liability in coverage. He had to go. Wallace sucks. He's a hard hitter. That's about it. I don't fully agree that he's a liability in coverage, but I mean, I don't have a great leg to stand on when you saw the performance of this past week. However, there's been coverage busts. That happens. I think that I believe in this team and their capability to coach guys up to make sure that they know what's happening. And I think it's also worth acknowledging that there has not been enough as much burn with those guys alongside him, where coverage busts can happen when you just don't have communication. Now, that might be an oversimplification. He might not be grasping these things. I want to leave that open. The idea that he's just a hard hitter, that's not a small feat.
No,
and not a small thing for D'Amico Ryans in this defense.
It's what they want. You know, the whole swarm, kind of suck the life out of him. But
and also that helps Kalen Bullock be where he needs to be. Like, being that box safety is kind of something that you needed from Kayvon Wallace.
But here's the thing. C.J. Gardner was too, and probably better at it.
Sure.
So if you're not in your right spots, you know, there's that one thing. You know, what D'Amico Ryans has very specific roles for everybody on the field. And the one at the safety position, you better have the communication down. You better have it down. Gardner Johnson gone because of that. We're presuming. It seems, reading between the lines, that's what it is. And, you know, he's kind of rogue, so to speak. And I'm not saying Wallace was rogue, but he got it wrong, at least on one play. And as you mentioned, it wasn't the only one.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think also when I say that it did not have to be either or, you just brought Justin Watson back from injured reserve. You have a number of wide receivers on this roster. There's places where I think you could make a sacrifice to make sure that you have a level of depth at safety that feels comfortable.
Is this game plan, perhaps? Do you think Jalen Petrie might play in a different role, too?
They've done that.
Yeah.
Right? When they got to a place where they were trying to find answers when Miles Bryant was back there, hey, shout out to, and I like Miles Bryant, the versatility that he has. Mm-hmm. I think that this team has a high standard, high value, rather, for versatility. Obviously, you could look at Trent Brown for that, amongst others. British Brooks is one of those guys. Dare Ogunbowale having that versatility. They have a high value for that. But Miles Bryant has looked like liability at times when they've put him out there safety as well. Nobody's talking about cutting him outright. And in those moments when they had Miles Bryant and they were trying to find ways to make this work, Petrie did slide back there at times.
Yeah.
And so maybe that's the way they go about it.
Maybe this is game plan driven.
It's quite possible.
Yeah.
And again, I don't want to get to the place where I'm trying to make it seem like Kayvon Wallace had to start. Mm-hmm. But I felt like this is a big step.
Yeah.
And I think that in the big step, you also give yourself less of a hand to play. And that's the thing that worries me about this move. Mm-hmm. I don't think this is going to be something that changes the entirety of what this team is capable of. But it was an oddity to see in the week leading up to the playoffs, right? In the week leading up to the playoffs, making a move for somebody that started in the game prior and sending him on his way. Mm-hmm. And it could be that in a few hours we see him back on the practice squad and then this is just all a moot point. But they are making bold moves at the very least.
Yes, they are.
With the way that they're handling this. And I am very intrigued to see how it works.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Here's the thing. Also, there's a lot of assumption that we made because the 8-3-2. Did I hear that Jalen Reed is coming back from IR?
Well, we think.
We wonder.
We think, yeah.
We have no idea. He hasn't even been put in the place where the practice window was activated for him. We're wondering and we're seeing what this looks like. So, yeah, that was a wild thing that happened yesterday, and we'll see what it looks like for the Texans as they head into an important game. And as Larry was talking about when he called in a little while ago, this is definitely the postseason where you feel the most confident the Texans can have a run.
Yes, you do.
And so that was an oddity to see coming into this place. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Somebody said Reggie obviously has a man crush. This was a place that they clearly needed a player. Kayvon Wallace felt like he stepped in and was solid, was serviceable.
Warm bodies.
And then
they need bodies.
And then from my perspective, and tell me if I'm wrong about this, one bad game and all of a sudden that's gone. Now, of course, that's my perspective. I'm not seeing what they deal with every day. I'm not seeing what the back side of this is. But I can only work off of what I see, and that was kind of shocking to see that. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's talk more about this game as well. What could be the most telling statistics in this Monday night matchup? 713-572-4610. We talk about it next.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Everybody's like, Justin Simmons time. It's Justin Simmons time.
What's he doing?
I don't probably.
I think he can hop off the couch and be better than, who is it? Javon Wallace or whatever.
Javon Wallace.
Hey, it's one thing for Phillip Rivers to do it. But at that position?
Yeah, jump off the couch and hit some people and cover some people.
Yeah, I have a strong feeling that we'll get some level of resolution on what happened.
They should have been hit him up if that was the case.
Yes,
right. Yeah. I feel like if there was going to be that move, that's been available. When he got on a podcast saying publicly that he would love to be in Houston.
Yeah. You better off going after the Honey Badger at this point. Might as well hit for the Honey Badger.
About it too.
Yeah.
Heading into this game, Lopez, what could be the most telling stats? An Acrisure Stadium come Monday night.
I got some options for you.
Okay, please.
Some of these are exact stats, and some are some that I kind of combined from a couple of different places. That just in terms of like they're good at this, while the Steelers are good at that, et cetera. But let me throw these numbers out at you, and figure jump in. Tell me if you think this is going to be important in Monday night's game or not. The first one is the most important one. We've talked a lot. They've talked about a lot. Everybody's talked about a lot about the red zone, right? Did you know the Steelers are actually number 11 in the league?
Defensively or offensively?
Offensively. In the red zone? It stands to reason with Aaron Rodgers. you know, that, you know, he'll find a way to find.
Honestly, with DK Metcalf.
And DK Metcalf.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now, Freiermuth, for that matter.
Freiermuth, Darnell Washington, now he isn't in, but that's a left tackle playing playing tight end.
Yeah.
Now, of course, again, he's been lost for the season, but those are the types of things.
Damn near paying wide receiver.
Yeah, those are the types of things that they had, and backs that can catch out of the backfield as well. A lot of variety, versatility in the red zone.
I was looking at this, and it was one of those where I was surprised, but I shouldn't have been, because I was like, that's pretty good. Especially when you're talking about two teams, and this is why I brought it up, two teams that play very similar styles, like to keep it tight, like to keep it safe. You get into the red zone, and they're 11th in the league. The Texans, as I think you already know, are 30th in the league. 30th in the league in red zone efficiency. So how telling a stat is that going to be on Sunday, you know, especially when, you know, you got Kyahmi Fairbairn kicking 6 field goals?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be something that's interesting to watch. I wonder how – I mean, yeah, you laid out pretty well. This has the makings of a tight game, a real, you know, 16-14 type affair.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the difference in making sure that you're getting the end zone and getting an additional 4 points could be huge. I think the defensively, though, is where it gets interesting, is how does that pair up and how many opportunities will you even have to get in there if you're the Steelers on one side and the Texans on the other?
If memory serves, the Steelers are kind of middle of the pack defensively in the red zone, and the Texans are higher in the red zone.
Right.
So those two stats should be stacked together. But as much as they're efficient in the red zone, the Texans are pretty good against it. As much as the Texans are horrible in the red zone, the Steelers are actually middle of the pack. So take that for what it's worth.
Sure. Yeah. And so, yeah, the red zone thing is going to be, I think it's going to continue to be interesting. It's going to be one of the things that we've been watching all year long. We've been lamenting all year long. And it's going to be one of those things that through the playoffs, we have to watch and see if they can find a way to make any headway on this.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because maybe one way to be better scoring is not doing it from the red zone.
I was going to bring this up, but I figured that you would get here eventually.
Not doing it from the red zone. The Texans are pretty good. Now, they don't do it a lot, but the explosive play rate, I'm sounding like Reggie Atatula right now.
That's right.
The explosive play, I think they call it the PGAEPR. It stands for pretty good at explosive plays. The old PGAEPR.
What are you doing, man?
Just let them cook, man.
You're scaring the hose.
Just let them cook. Let them cook.
The Texans are pretty good at explosive play rate. I think, if I'm remembering right, 11th as well. I think they're 11th or 12th in explosive play rate. The Steelers giving up big plays, bottom 10.
Yeah, that secondary is atrocious. Mm-hmm. It's gotten old, it's gotten decrepit, and they are right for the pickings.
So do they take more shots?
The Texans?
Yeah.
The question is, can you block it up?
Yeah.
That's the question that arises. You've made mention a number of times already in this, the early week that we are in. TJ Watt, Alex Highsmith, Cam Hayward pushing the pocket in the middle is one of those things that is also interesting. Is if CJ Stroud has the opportunity to hold on to the football and wait for those things to develop, then, yeah, I think there's possibilities. Hell, you watched in that final game of the regular season with the Ravens and the Steelers, you watched Jalen Ramsey get cooked.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the thing that put the Ravens in an opportunity.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
That's bad quick.
But that's how it happens in sports a lot of times. Especially
secondary.
Things that athletes that depend highly on their athleticism, it always feels like it falls off a cliff.
Yeah.
It is rarely just a gradual decline. It's it's here one day and then gone the next.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's what's happened somewhat with Jalen Ramsey, but they've got a lot of age on that team just generally, and I think that secondary, that's some of what shows up there. So, yeah, it could be something. And then Nico Collins with an opportunity to maybe make some hay there.
Mm-hmm.
The likes of Jalen Knoll finally getting some shots as well in the Chargers game. I think that's going to be something that, you have to watch for, and hopefully that can create some scores that you don't have to worry about red zone, but then also putting points on the board at all applies pressure to the Steelers.
And it comes back to C.J. Stroud, too, finding those opportunities whenever there is somebody maybe pressing and gives them the sign or whatever.
Sure.
And they make that that change.
Right. That's one of the juxtapositions quarterback to quarterback. You know, I hate it when we do the thing where we go, oh, the quarterback, this quarterback versus that quarterback, because they're never on the field together. Mm-hmm. But the juxtaposition, you look at Aaron Rodgers and you believe that if the defense makes a mistake that he's going to be able to capitalize on it. I think that's going to be the question for CJ.
Yeah, here's another interesting one. I got a few more here real quick. The Steelers like to pressure the quarterback with just their front four or five.
Mm-hmm.
Texans have, and we've talked about it, you know, at the end of the season here, they're pretty good at protecting C.J. Stroud. He's one of the, I think he was only sacked 23 times all year long. So their pressure with just the front four or five versus the Texans offensive line, given that they have those rush edges and, as you mentioned, Hayward, et cetera.
That's going to be the name of the game.
That's the whole game.
That's going to be the name of the game.
I think that's the whole game. I think that's one of the more important stats. Because it ties in with red zone. It ties in with the explosive plays. And if he doesn't have time, you mentioned it earlier. That's what I was thinking about. I think that's the whole game. If they can get there with just their front, then they can help their secondary a little more. You know?
I mean, nothing to add there. I think you're right. And being able to keep this offense upright, running the football obviously is going to be something. It's something that the Texans have to do. But if you look at the strides that they've made offensively from last year to this year, passing the football has actually been one of those ones. It's not been something where they've done it in a flashy way or largely in an explosive way, but that's been one of the improvements. Yeah. And so if they're capable, we've seen the bad games are when you end up with CJ running around and not having a level of calm to him or any outlets for him.
Yeah.
If he can find a way, or if the offensive line rather can find a way to keep him upright, give him an opportunity to really focus downfield, you should be able to do some things.
And then one more for you guys here. You know how people like to play that check the box, you know, who has the edge here, who has the edge there, whatever. The one that always makes me laugh is like, well, turnovers. Well, of course. If you win, everybody knows, if you win the turnover battle, you're probably going to win the game. Here's where it gets interesting to me, and this is an interesting stat. Both the Steelers and the Texans are top four. Top four in creating turnovers. Texans are number two. Steelers are number four. It's very, very simple. Whichever team plays to its strength the best in terms of turnovers, that team will win the game.
And when you're doing the race to 20 type football game, what happens if you have a short field? How does that affect a game? If you have any questions about offenses on either side, short fields, getting the ball, another possession or limiting a possession on the other end, those are things that obviously in any game, any football game, that matters to a great degree. I think that you're very right in those, and obviously there's opportunities to dig deeper into a lot of those things as we continue on. And towards the wild card matchup between your Texans and the Steelers, which you'll be able to hear here on Sports Radio 610 come Monday night. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get to our question of the day. Inspired by Joe Judge, once having a neighbor named Aaron Hernandez, what's the worst neighbor you ever had? 713-572-4610. Let's talk about it next. Question of the day, Tom. What's the worst neighbor you ever had? 713-572-4610. What inspired this one, John Lopez?
Well, you're familiar with the assistant coach at Ole Miss, Joe Judge.
So. I am. Used to be the head coach at the Giants. Special teams coach.
Patriots legend.
Yep. In fact, that's
from that tree.
That's when this happened, when he was with the Patriots in 2012 and 2013. Well, first of all, he was asked about the chaotic goings on at Ole Miss right now.
With the coaches that got loaned to him, but then got taken back from the loan.
They're here, they're gone, they're here, they're gone again.
The hokey pokey coaches.
Yes, they put your right arm in, you put your offensive assistant out. So he's talking about how chaotic it was at a press conference yesterday. And he said, and this was in 2012 and 2013 when he was with the Patriots. My next door neighbor was Aaron Hernandez. I know this is more chaotic. First of all, that this is make more chaotic is saying something.
That is wild. Yeah. And if you don't recall, Aaron Hernandez's house factored into the entirety of that circumstance.
He said he was home when he got arrested.
Are you for real?
Joe Judge was there.
Yeah, they busted that man's door down. It was security footage of his house with the murder weapon that put him away.
Yeah.
Like, this is the type of stuff that
Judge is out there, like, you know, with his fingers, hands on the window. What's going on over there?
You know, he's splitting the blinds with two fingers.
Yeah. You know how you see the lights flashing?
Yeah.
What they doing over there?
Yeah. Yelling back to his old lady. Oh, Aaron got something happening in his house.
Is that Hernandez?
There's something at his house happening. They got the police over there.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, look.
Yeah. So your worst neighbors ever. I said this earlier, so I better tell the story. I lived next door for about 4 or 5 years to some Mormons.
You got it, big dog.
Running mask wheel, like, oh, word. I want to hear this. I want to hear all about this.
Actually, Vernon Maxwell was like, say no more.
I know exactly what you mean.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about.
No, this isn't about necessarily, it's related to them, you know, like the Mormons and all that stuff. I'm not going there.
Please don't.
But these were very, you know, faithful, loyal, you know, Church of Latter-day Saints members. And as part of that, one of the tenets that they do in that church is they store food. I don't know if it's for the apocalypse or whatever.
Haven't done the research to that degree.
So they had these 50-pound burlap bags they stored in their garage of flour, rice, beans.
That's just boll weevils waiting to happen.
Well, that's why.
Okay.
Yeah, you just hit it.
Very good.
And at first, you know, I remember talking to them. They were nice enough. You know, they had 9 kids. And you know, they were fine. But after about 6 or 8 months, we started seeing mice, roaches, raccoons.
Mm. Oh, yes. It's a buffet in here.
And I was like, good. And what do you do? Do you tell them, hey, you know. You can't adhere to your religious tenets on my watch. You know, I was like, so we just kind of lumped it. And I think at one point, we did make it very obvious that we had called. We told them, like, that's the third time, you know, that the
exterminator
has been over to our house, trying for them to get the hint.
Yeah.
But, dude, first of all, would you eat any of that stuff if the apocalypse came or whatever? But they had probably 8 to 10 bags of, like, 50-pound burlap bags.
Yeah.
Of all this stuff.
That's rough.
In the garage, right next to our driveway.
That's rough.
Yeah.
So, it's the ones that impose upon you, but don't necessarily impose it, because you can't really do much about it without being a jerk.
Yeah.
Did y'all have an HOA?
We did have an HOA, but I don't think, I mean, they were storing stuff in their garage. They were storing food in their garage in big old burlap bags.
That's how you start HOA cold wars, stuff like that. Or like this text just sent in that they had a neighbor who had a zero turn lawnmower, which I bet he felt cool as hell. Mm-hmm. He would leave just a 12-inch strip on the borderline because he had determined that that wasn't part of his
property.
That's you, big dog. That's for you. I don't know why you don't be mowing your lawn.
That happens a lot.
Really?
Yeah. That happens a lot because, like, sometimes the grass from your driveway to theirs.
Or the property line disputes.
Goodness.
Yeah.
I'm just mowing my property. The rest is on yours.
I'm kind of going through that right now.
Really?
Because I got a little side strip of grass that's technically mine.
Yeah.
And the church owned the whole, you know, field that's next to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to talk to the guy that come to cut the grass. I'm like, you can just cut this little inch right here.
One more pass.
Dog, I would give you $10, $20 extra if you do it, man. So now I got to get out here and do it. Yeah. Just a little tiny script.
Apparently, there's some people that have had the full Aaron Hernandez experience here on the text line. From the 281. Turns out my neighbor's son was wanted for murder in Dallas.
He was
hiding out in Houston. Nice guy.
Oh, wow.
Nice guy. Needless to say, the Ring video when the SWAT team came was alarming and cool at the same time. Wow. Alarming. So I bet they had you on the news. Like, he seemed like such a, you know, it's always the neighbors like, oh, I would have never thought he seemed like such a nice young man.
He was a quiet fella.
No wonder he was on the run. I mean, quiet.
Yeah.
He was on the run.
What about you guys? Bad neighbors.
The one that came to mind, I definitely have had some others. Like, I've seen someone on the text line make a mention of the neighbor who just parks their cars all over the place and it ends up in front of your house and blocks you in and stuff. But the one that immediately came to mind was when I was in college. I lived in an off-campus apartment, but it was owned, I believe, by the school. And so I had my apartment, and it was myself, my roommate, and then our neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
Real chill dudes, but they seem to, you know, operate a business from home, let's say. And they were cool dudes, except they were drug dealers. Yeah. So you would have people coming through, and it wasn't that much of an incursion, except they were drug dealers in, I think, an old school sense of it, in that sometimes they just be hanging out doing the drugs with their customers.
Oh, boy.
And
oh,
so, man. Yeah.
Getting high on your own supply.
Yeah, well, getting high on a supply that you just sold, which is a good racket, I imagine.
Yeah.
Right? If you imagine you sell a product, and then
it
is socially acceptable for you to then partake in that product that you just sold. What a time. What a time. But yes, we had that happening. And there was times where that became annoying when people come and bang on the door when the few times that they were not there.
Yeah.
And then they were always there. I don't know how they didn't go to class. So that ended up being annoying a few times in ways that I don't know that I should stay on the radio.
Yeah, I actually stayed in the neighborhood similar to that. So I ain't going to get into all of that stuff where it was just a rowdy neighborhood. But the one that I can think of is my sister, my second oldest sister.
Mm-hmm.
She stayed a couple doors down, I want to say, from the Cleveland Strangler.
Oh, what? I remember that.
Yeah, it was a guy by the name of Anthony Soul.
You talked about it once on a mixtape or something.
I can't remember.
You talked about it once.
Yeah, it might have been something else. Yeah. But, yeah, it was a guy known as the Cleveland Strangler.
Mm-hmm.
Stayed down the street, right down the street from him. She saw him a couple times and kind of spoke. He was, you know, like everybody say, he was such a quiet guy type of thing. But this dude had like over, I want to say over 8 to 10 bodies in his house.
Goodness gracious.
It was a big deal. And the disgusting part about that, outside of the obvious, is he stayed next to a sausage company.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
So this sausage company was getting a lot of heat because it was a bad smell in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And people always thought it was coming from the sausage company.
And they were like, see?
Yeah.
We tried to tell you.
I don't know if they moved or went out of business or what, but it was all coming from him.
Yeah.
What if that's how they found out? They were like, the sausage company left. So why is the smell
still here?
Yeah. It's actually a documentary on that.
I think you mentioned that.
Yeah, you could check it out. It was wild. I watched it, I want to say last year, somewhere last year, but it was crazy, but she stayed right down the street from him. Actually saw him a couple times.
This one didn't happen to me, but it was close friends of ours back when we were living up in the Kingwood area. There was a guy on the loose that would sneak into people's homes and strip naked and stand over a woman lying asleep in her bed. You know,
what the hell?
Yes, yeah. It was a big thing up there for a while, a few years ago. And he would even if the lady was married, but a lot of times it was a single woman or whatever, and he would sneak into their homes and take off all his clothes and just stand over their bed. And sometimes the woman would wake up and freak out and call the police and all that stuff. So this happened for like a month.
Goodness gracious.
Or two or longer.
Damn.
But some friends of ours finally saw the picture. That was finally a camera. They got a good look at him. And he goes, oh, that's Bob. That's my next door neighbor.
Oh, goodness gracious,
man.
He seemed like such a nice guy.
Yeah, exactly. He goes, oh, man. I know that guy. He lived next door to me.
That kind of remind me of something.
Always loan me his
his clothes.
Yeah.
That kind of remind me of something that happened, I want to say 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. It was kind of around this time. You all know him as Joe Budden.
Mm-hmm.
I think I played in the mixtape. He had some type of weird sleeping type of thing where he sleep naked.
Yeah.
And he sleepwalks. And so he sleptwalking, knocked on some random neighbor door in an apartment building, like just butt ass.
Yeah.
And they caught everything on the Ring camera.
Oh, God.
There's a lot of people who have had their neighbors arrested by them. 832, neighbors are Latinos and they like to party hard. Understood.
Okay. Yeah.
I feel like you can mitigate that a little bit by just lean in, mm-hmm. go over, hang out, get you a plate.
The neighbors that stay behind me, they play music every single weekend.
Oh,
like black, wow. It got to be those big old speakers you get from Walmart.
Yeah.
Just the Bluetooth speakers,
mm-hmm.
all day long, to the point that's the background music of the weekend for me.
Mm-hmm.
Listening to watching the game and just hearing the music going.
A guy across the hall from me ran a prostitution ring. Dang.
Mm.
Okay.
972.
I guess you just got to mind your business then, man. Like, I feel like you just mind your business. So, I think there's a lot of people in the listening audience who knows how Joe Judge has felt in his various different endeavors. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's go around the NFL where John Harbaugh and the Baltimore Ravens have changed the entire dynamic of the coaching carousel. We talk about it next.